and where all good books are sold.
Welcome. Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
Right, we're back. Welcome to the Movies Hate You Show 2014.
Welcome to the Movies Hate You Show 2014.
Oh, I like that little zinger at the end. 2014.
Yeah, got a little zinger.
Hey, I'm the aforementioned Mr. Housechild. Mr. Ree, my Asian valet, is out running an errand for me right now. He had to pick up a few things, including my dry cleaning. So he'll be here, hopefully, momentarily. The weather is here in New York City area is pretty chilly, and public transportation is a little screwed up. So who knows if he'll show up, but who cares about him? This is the Movies Hate You Show, sponsored by Wild Eye Releasing. It is January 7th, 2014. This is our first show in a long time. Right, Mr. Sheets, our producer at the boards?
It is.
It is. Yes. Well, Happy New Year to you, too.
Happy New Year, my friend.
Yeah, man. We haven't been on the air in a long time, so we've got a lot of catching up to do. But we'll forget about catching up and just pretend like we have been on the air and just keep going. What's in the news, Todd?
Well, there's not much in the news because the news is it's freaking cold.
Yeah, it seems like everybody's suffering from this, but the last thing I want to do on this show is talk about the weather.
Of course.
I mean, that would really... The weather's bad enough, you want to put a gun in your mouth. Talking about the weather, using this show to talk about the weather would really... It's kind of like double barrel shotgun to the chin, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
How is the... I wanted to talk a little bit about your movie for a second. How's the movie coming, man?
Movie's doing well. We've been screening it around, and it's getting picked up by some more film festivals, which makes me happy, and people seem to enjoy it, which is the biggest compliment, is the fact that people enjoy it.
Good. Any awards yet from all these festivals?
I did. I got 6 awards from the festival I was at with you, which is really cool.
Well, I remember that, yeah. But I
mean, the other festivals haven't happened yet. They've accepted the film.
I had to pay a guy to give you those awards.
Well,
so
I know. And thank you for that.
Count. Yeah, of thank course. You. That doesn't really count.
I love it when you pay people to give me awards. Can you do that more, please?
Yeah. Hey, this is how it works in the big time, buddy. Speaking of which, our sponsor, Wild Eye Releasing, the movie company. Is that what you would call it? A studio? A label?
Well, you know, I'm hoping you become a studio because I think we're going to start producing some in-house films together. I'm hopeful, you know.
I hope so. But I got to tell you, I'm a very impatient man. So if they don't happen, I just move on to the next project.
I tell you,
I don't really. You can eat my dust, as far as I'm concerned.
I know that.
So, yeah. Bring me the goods. Back up your talk, and then we'll be in good shape. So, what's the first movie you're bringing us? And when will it be ready?
Exactly. And we can't talk about that yet, but we do have a plan.
Good.
Because you and I talked about the plan, but we don't want to give it away yet because we don't want anyone to try to steal our plan
because they
do that.
No, forget about that.
People.
You know, there's a lot of stealing going on in this business. You know, I did an interview on another blog this week, and I called Wild Eye a finishing school. You know how you go to finishing school to kind of put the dollop, the last touch on your whatever before you're presented to the world, and that's kind of what it is. It's a finishing school, and you can check it out by going to wildeyereleasing.com.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I love when Mr. Reese's not here because I could just sit here and plug Wild Eye for an hour. He's the one always like nudging me, like, oh, no, too much plug in there. You know, let's move on with the show. I don't think we plug it enough. I want to use this form to let the world know what I'm doing. We are sponsoring the Macabre Fair Film Festival in New York, which is out in Long Island, New York, if you're from this area. And that's going to be the weekend of the 14th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll be sponsoring it. We sent them a bunch of swag to give away. We've taken a look at a lot of the shorts and the features that are playing, and it's a really good lineup. And we hope anybody in the New York area can go there to the Macabre Fair Film Festival. Let me find you the right...
Darn it, I wanted to go.
Why? Is your film playing? No.
I wish it was. I didn't know. If you're a sponsor, I've got to go.
Well, why didn't you submit it?
I didn't know about it, or I would have.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's Macabre Fairy Film Festival. That's right. The spelling is MacabreFaire. Macabre Fairy. I think some people call it Macabre Fair. That's what I call it. I think technically it's Macabre Fairy.
Gosh,
right?
I would have loved it.
I don't know much about
that.
English, but oddly enough, the URL for it is livingdeadmafia.com. So if you want to go right to livingdeadmafia.com, check out what they're doing. If
they're
you're
doing
on
another
the
one in August, it's
East Coast area, they do one in June as well. Yes,
I gotta get involved.
What, say what now?
I want to get involved. I want House to be popping in there and having some fun.
I think you can send one. I'll get you an address. You know, since I got the inside line, and you can send it. It's gonna be, you know, it's gonna have to. I have no say in what plays there, but we can definitely get a copy in their hands.
That's right.
Because that wouldn't be playing fair.
Well, no. But you know what? I have faith in House that it's going to play anywhere that I send it. It's a good movie.
Even Sundance?
I don't think Sundance gives two damns about me.
What about you said, I will get it played anywhere I send it.
That's the cool thing is I would never send it to those people. I only send it to people who I actually believe in what they're doing. Like, I like their lineups and what they believe in and what they're doing. So I send it to those guys.
Well, they're doing, I mean, check out their stuff, man. It's they're doing a lot of cool indie stuff. And they also play older films, which is
very... Yeah, I'm looking at that. That's awesome.
You know, they'll throw in some past winners. They'll throw in some, you know, audience favorites from past festivals. That's a pretty cool thing. But we're up there, man. That one here on the East Coast, and then Polygrind on the West Coast. That's pretty much where we're at. These are the kind of festivals that we're into. And you know, people who win are, you know, they say that, you know, all winning films will be considered for distribution. You know that. Of course, you know, we're there to also find good films that need a home, and, you know, get them, put them through our finishing school and get them out to market. Of course, that's part of the reason we're there. But even if we don't get any films, we're very happy to be there and support it. And, you know, the very special news is that Mr. Ree just crawled in from the cold.
One, two, three, here comes Mr. Ree.
You missed the, welcome to the Movies Hate You Show 2014. Todd added that.
Like it.
Love it, right? 2014.
Up to date.
We were just talking about the Macabre Fairy. Is that how you say that?
Okay, I can explain. What did he tell you?
Macabre Fairy.
What did he tell you that I did?
No, not fairy, with a Y.
Oh, that, oh,
right.
Sorry.
No, not you, but the Macabre Fairy.
Macabre, McBear.
McBear?
McBray.
McBray. No, Macabre. Macabre, and then Fairy. Fairy? How would you say that?
Fairy, yeah, I think it's Fairy.
Fairy?
Beyonce, Fairy.
Yeah? Oh, Beyonce, right.
Beyonce.
That's the point of reference.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a Y in her name. Maybe. Well, anyway, we're a sponsor of this film festival in Long Island. I know you'll be out there in Rockville Center, New York,
yeah.
The epicenter of cool.
Don't go back to Rockville.
Don't go back to Rockville. Center. Yes. Hey, there's an obscure song Western reference. Yeah. We should play music on the show.
We should.
That would kill some time, wouldn't it?
Do we have to kill time?
Anyway, no, we don't. We don't. Yeah, no, I know. Just waiting for you to get here. See, I
apologize.
I said, you know what? I'm going to just plug Wild Eye stuff until you get here. And then hopefully you won't get here, and it'll be a whole hour of me boringly plugging stuff that we're doing, like Caesar and Otto's Deadly Christmas, our big hit.
Big hit.
From, as they say, Q4 2013. You know what that stands for?
Fourth quarter.
See?
Fourth quarter. Mm-hmm.
Q4.
Mm-hmm.
That's industry talk. That's insider language.
Ah.
And I'm sharing it with all of you.
Am I an insider? Because I don't understand it.
You're kind of on the inside out, sort of. You
like
know, it's kind of like a pair of jeans.
Oh.
On the floor,
after
a few drinks, inside out. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You're kind of just like laying flat, inside out on the floor after a few drinks.
That's the way I feel right now.
Do you like that? So I told Todd. I said there would be the only thing worse than the weather we're having would be talking about it on the air, because we almost got into a weather conversation. Mm.
Apparently.
But really, how bad is it?
If you believe the 600 people that told me today, it is cold.
Yeah.
Apparently it's cold.
Wear your mittens, kids.
It's cold, really.
Wear your mittens.
Mm. What I like to say to people, you know, it was 5 degrees or something today. It was four, but
with the wind chill, it was like -10 or something. Yes.
If I saw somebody who looked like they were particularly uncomfortable and struggling,
yes.
I would lean over to them and say, you know, it's supposed to get cold later.
Nice.
And that seemed like a good icebreaker.
That's a good icebreaker. Did you do that to women or men or young kids?
What
did
you? Mostly women.
Right. You try
it's kind of a, you know, it's
that's
my move.
The mystery thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's the mystery. Break them down with the humor.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Does that ever work?
No, not yet.
Well, you know, I think you need to make a film. I think that's really the, you know, ask Todd.
Yeah.
You need to make a film, and it's like, oh, are you the director?
Mm-hmm.
You're the director. Don't get into distribution. Nobody cares.
Right. They don't say, are you the distributor?
They never say that. They'll say, do you produce these films? And I'll say, no, I don't produce. Oh, okay. And then they go talk to the director. They don't want anything to do with the distributor.
So if it was like a rock band with a groupie situation, you know, you've got the band, then you've got the roadies.
The roadies would get.
Manager, maybe. The food chain goes
right
down to.
The label person? Nah.
Nah.
The label,
bus
label,
driver,
the distributor,
probably even is up there.
See, they're in the action. You know, they are in the action. They're right there.
Mm-hmm.
No, because they see it's a silent power, the power of distribution. It's not a you can't go and watch it happen on stage. It's a long con.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It happens over a period of months and months and weeks and days. This it all happens. It's so spread thin.
But I'll tell you what does work is when I tell the ladies that I'm in the exhibition.
Oh,
business.
Yeah.
I'm in
that's
theatrical
right.
exhibition.
Theatrical exhibition.
Yeah.
And they say like 8 tracks? They don't even know that's how dead it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you say you're in theatrical exhibition, they say, oh, you're the popcorn guy? Is that what they say?
Yeah, they say, could I make that large instead of a medium?
Yeah, they say, well, are you the guy who I buy the ticket from at the window, or the one that I give it to and they rip it in half, or are you the guy who gives me my chicken fingers and Dove bar at the concession, or are you the guy that walks in after the film, the credits are rolling, the lights come up, you come in with the little broom, are you that guy? That's what they ask.
I say, I'm whatever you want me to be, baby.
A little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything.
A little of this and a little of that. Yeah,
wow.
Well, so welcome in from the cold.
Thank you. I'm sorry I'm late. I had to moderate a Q&A with Joshua Oppenheimer, director of The Act of Killing.
Oh, okay.
Movie that we've talked about on the show.
Oh, absolutely. Fantastic.
Documentary.
Fantastic.
And Joshua has tentatively agreed to come on the show next week.
How do you like that? Next Tuesday.
Keep that in mind, people. Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. So my plan to have 42nd Street Pete come on next week is not going to happen.
Well, let's see. You know, it's a little fluid. He's only in town for a short time.
Yeah.
He wanted to do it tonight, actually. He wanted to maybe do like 10, 15 minutes on the phone. And I said, you know what? that would seem like short shrift to me because I have so many things I want to talk to you about.
Yeah.
Let's just forget about it. He said, let's do it next week then.
Yeah. So, this will be a serious conversation. Mm-hmm. We can't goof around on this one.
Well, I mean,
you think you'll do a prank call with us?
Maybe.
I don't know. The movie's kind of a prank. I like it.
Well, the movie is,
it's a trick movie. It's kind of like a, you know, exit through the gift shop in a sense, you know, but it's not, you know what I mean? It's a mind F.
Yeah, type only, movie. Only really, really, yeah, it's really
but intellectual, certain. Intellectual mind F. Mm. It's a punking. It's a punking. It really is. If you think about it.
Well, yeah, I actually had a gentleman was walking out of the screening today, this afternoon. He walked out and he said to me, "Do you get many people to walk out of this movie?" And I talked to him for a little while. And it wasn't because he didn't like the movie. It was because of the intensity of it.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I totally agree. But I told him that I think it's the most important film of the year, which I do. And we talked about it for 2 or 3 minutes, and finally he decided to go back in. He said, I'm going to give it another chance. I'm going to finish it. I told him that Joshua was coming afterwards to talk about it. And he stayed for the Q&A. And then afterwards he came over and thanked me for talking him into going back in.
Wow, that's
really cool. Totally changed his mind.
That's like the movie equivalent of talking somebody off the ledge.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. It really is. Like, if you did something for that story. You did something for that art. And you did something for the director. You did a good deed.
Well, I think what I did was for the viewer. I mean, honestly, I'm sure, you know, Joshua wouldn't tell you this, but if one person walks out, I'm sure it's not the first person who's walked out.
Right.
And you know,
I think if you're very sensitive, like if you're like a, it's not political, but if you're sort of just so sensitive to social issues and to murder, you know what I mean? Like if death is a problem for you and like human, the vileness of human beings, mm-hmm. if that's something you really can't, you can't watch a documentary on Nazis or something, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that kind of thing. Like I had an ex-girlfriend who, I took her to see Ted Bundy. Remember that movie mm-hmm. that they made?
Mm-hmm.
The guy who directed, was that Reese Witherspoon movie? It's the Little Red Riding Hood takeoff with Kiefer Sutherland. What is that?
Oh.
Detour? Not Detour.
Freeway.
Freeway. Mm. The director of Freeway did this Ted Bundy movie.
Okay.
And it played, I think, at your theater or a quad or somewhere in New York. And I'm going to take my girlfriend to see this movie. I mean, she got 10 minutes into it and she's out the door. She left. She said, you could stay and watch it.
Mm.
And I stayed for about 5 minutes. And I says, well, this is really stupid. I can't do this. And I had to go find her. You know, she went down the street to get a taco or something.
Hmm. Because the
it
movie
was
too
just
intense?
Too, yeah, it was just too intense for a woman to go see that and to watch the kind of it's not a celebration of the pain or the violence toward women, but the fact that even the storytelling can come across like that. It can really do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the slow motion and the, you know, the kind of what's the point of watching this guy stalk women or his tricks on women? Who benefits from that? You know, and I think that's how she felt.
Mm-hmm.
Who benefits? Who benefits watching it? Are you just getting off on it, or was it really a character study? I don't know. I didn't see it. I saw 20 minutes of it. So. But yeah, she couldn't handle it. And it wasn't like it was gore. There was no like heads lobbing off or blood shooting out or anything.
Well, that's the thing with the act of killing. It's not explicit
really
at all, but it's the verbal descriptions of what they actually did in real life.
And it's the matter of factness in that description. That's the beauty of it. It's just, this was just like anything else mm-hmm. to them. I mean, and it's like you hear, you know, people who have been in wars here, U.S. soldiers who talk about the kinds, oh, yeah, they were, you know, dead babies or whatever. You know, they talk about stuff pretty matter-of-factly because it's a way of coping,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well,
but I think those men in that movie are sociopathic, obviously, but they're heroes in their town.
Sure.
They're not looked at as sociopath or is, you know, the guys who stormed Normandy looked at as sociopaths who, you know,
exactly.
sacrificed their lives and just kept going and going until they got past it and got to the bad guys.
Exactly.
That's psychotic. Who would do that? Normal person wouldn't do that.
Right.
Put themselves in front of a machine gun.
You're a war hero.
Well, you're a hero. That's what I mean. You see all these guys coming back with no arms and legs. Oh, these are our heroes.
Mm.
They don't probably feel like a hero.
Right.
You know, so I'm sure it sounds good if you lose your arm. But I'm sure they'd rather have their arm and leg back than be a hero.
I think so, yeah.
You know, but why are they a hero? Because they were driving down the street and a bomb went off under the truck or something? You know,
right.
What did they do heroically? I'm not putting them down. The fact that they went there is heroic. That's not, I'm not fighting against that. Mm-hmm. I just mean we use that term so loosely. Those guys are heroes.
Well, that's one of those things, you know, that almost the narrative has been written a certain way, and it's almost the whole "we support our troops" concept.
Right.
If you don't support, I mean, what's wrong? I support most of our troops. I don't support all of them because I know there's some psychopaths in there. Okay, and we know that there's bad things being done. So, just saying we support our troops. What does that mean? We support them no matter what they do?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
I remember when I was in college, the first Gulf War was just starting, and there was all this BS talk and a lot going on. And I think that's when the term, because I guess Vietnam was the last time we had ever had this kind of conflict where there were young people our age going into battle. And there was this whole, I support the troops, but not the war. Remember that? That's when that whole thing started to come up.
That's kind of the love the sinner, not the sin kind of thing.
Exactly. Which I found to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I support the conscientious objectors. I mean, philosophically, I do.
Right. Right. But if you support a troop, if you support a soldier, then you are supporting war.
Right.
You're supporting the act of war.
Right.
You're not saying, I support the diplomat. You know what I'm saying? When they go over there, I support the ambassadors. Nobody ever says that.
Yeah.
They're there all the time. You know, troops go in for a couple months or a year or two and they leave. The ambassador's been there for 30 years.
Yeah.
Nobody supports that dude. I don't understand it. If you know, just do it expeditiously, man. Just, you know, hey, we're a war culture. We're a planet of war. We're warring people. We're filled with anger and hate and bad stuff and good stuff too. But that other stuff's there, and this is how we settle things in 2014. You know, maybe in 4014, maybe that won't be the case. But this is how we do it now. Support the war. If you support these guys going over there, unless you're going to send robots over there, then you could say, I don't support it at all. I don't support those robot troops.
Right.
Forget them.
Some anti-robot.
Anti-robot. You got to support what they're doing. Because then they come back with no arms and legs and they say, yeah, but I went there for nothing. I know you supported I went there because you know I'm a human being or I'm your cousin, but you didn't support why I went there. So it completely nixes out any reason that they would go there, even if it's a valid reason that somebody's dangling a bomb over this country and they have to go.
Right. Not to mention that most it's all volunteer, so... You know, some people
right.
are probably volunteering for the wrong reasons, and I don't support them.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And that's what. And they also they do the same thing with firemen and police. There's this kind of like, oh, these guys, they're going to put their life, you know, they're a hero, whatever. They signed up. That's what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want to do. You know, they die in the line of duty. That's what they signed up for. They know that. Don't give me that. Don't start this, you know, nonsense talk. Like, oh, things got to get better. It's like, no, they're there when things get bad. That's the way they did it. So that you didn't have to get shot. They got shot for you. And they knew that. They signed up for it.
Yeah.
And that's heroic. That's very brave.
I think the position is heroic. I think it's heroic that you... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what is heroism? Is it... you're ostensibly by signing up to be a police officer or a fire... person,
mm-hmm.
fireman, you're doing it to help other people. I mean, it's
that's right.
It is altruistic.
Yeah.
So I do support them. I do support the position at least.
Yeah. I mean, within that context, you're going to have people acting like fools and doing bad things and criminal things and nasty things and taking advantage of their power. It's going to happen anywhere.
Yeah. And I've had lots of experiences with policemen from customer service, from running bookstores, from running stores, and being proprietor, and you have to have a close working relationship with your precinct, and etc. And I've known the cops to be great.
Yeah.
They're always great. Sure, there are, you hear about all kinds of things that go on, and you hear different stories from different people. But by and large, I do support police. I'm a pro cop, and if something goes wrong, I'm the first one to call the cop.
Of course, okay. You want. That's who you want.
That's yeah, what you that's want. That's what's the
job. Yeah, I don't. I don't know. Well, I don't know who's against cops that we're kind of okay. arguing.
Well, Ice-T.
No, forget him. He's not against us. Okay. Come on, that was a song guy. Come on, yeah, that was. Shit, please. So here we are, 7:30. Todd, you still with us?
I am.
Oh, good.
Hi, Todd.
You know what time it is in the show? It is the halfway mark. It's time to say you're listening to the Movies Hate You show, brought to you by Wild Eye Releasing. Found at wildeyereleasing.com. Deadly Christmas, Cesar and Otto's Deadly Christmas, now on iTunes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's right. It's been on iTunes for a little while, but it's just a couple weeks. Just really getting in there, getting up those last Christmas buyers with yeah. this Christmas horror comedy. Let's get in there and get Cesar and Otto on iTunes. And starting on cable TV this month, Murder University, and also Showgirls 2
nice.
On cable television.
Oh, nice.
VOD, of course, not on a cable channel, because we're just not that cool yet. But you can get it on probably 30 million homes. You can find it on your local cable provider if you have Verizon or Cox or...
Excuse me?
Or Verizon.
Todd, do we have Cox?
Do you have Cox over there? What do you have,
three of them.
What do you have?
Three of them.
We do. Oh, excellent.
No, what cable system do you use over there?
Oh, Time Warner.
No, we don't have Time. We're not on Time Warner, damn it. Well, anyway, check your local cable provider and see if you have us on VOD. That's Murder University, Richard Griffin's awesome 80s slasher homage, and Showgirls 2, which just speaks for itself. I don't even have to give it a description. Anyway, that's the halfway mark, but it's also it is also time in our show that we check ourselves, in a sense, right? Is that how you say it?
Check your ego at the door.
Do we check our ego at the door?
No. I gave it to somebody.
No, we bring our egos here. I mean, we need the ego to...
I check my Legos at the door. That's what I do.
No, come on now. Ego, my Lego. Anyway, there we go. We are live. Look at that. I did a little Todd check, and we are live. I heard myself coming through the can.
Ah, it feels good. How many weeks were we off? Like 5 weeks?
We were gone a long time. How long were we gone, Todd?
5 weeks, I think, or something.
Was it 5 weeks? That long?
I think so.
Jeez, man. Well, we're back.
We're back, and we promise Daddy will never leave again.
Listen, the holiday season came about. Very busy time of year. Crazy time of year. We don't get paid to do this. So we had to go work extra jobs to get Christmas gifts for everyone. Who can do this? How long has Night Watch been off the air?
Night Watch was actually off for 3 weeks.
See? Night Watch took a break. Come on, man. Listen. Everybody else takes a week off, 2 weeks off. The Congress disappears for a month. What's going on here? Why can't we take a little break?
That's right.
Get a lot of hate mail. You guys going to come back on the air? He would go into, remember last night? He's going into the bag that's at the side of his desk. Forget it.
Yeah, well.
Forget it.
It's too cold. You know, when it's this cold, people do not pick up the phone.
It's the relay. The relay's frozen. The
relay's frozen again.
Todd, the relay's frozen.
Just our luck.
Todd, is the relay frozen?
No, it's not.
You can hear his voice. What did Groucho have to say about the relay last time? That was, I think, funniest moment ever on the MHU show.
Oh, the relay.
What would Groucho say about this weather? He was from New York.
Groucho was from New York. Was he Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
Brooklyn boys.
What would he say?
Oh, I don't know. It's hard to.
You're not going
to
do Groucho. I don't want you to say me as Lee what Groucho would say. I want you to go into that's your cue to go into the Groucho. You got to be kidding me, man. I'm working with amateurs all around here.
Far Q.
It's a far Q. Yeah.
Far Q.
Yeah. Mm. It's like a shaving cream. what would Groucho say about the relay being frozen? So our show's not archived. Groucho, what kind of servers did you have in your day?
Servers.
Oh, of course, and we used to meet at the Brown Derby. It was a colored boy.
What was his name?
I don't know where this is going.
You know, it's, all we need right now anywhere. With that, we need Rick Moranis doing his Dick Cavett and then have you two. You, right, yeah.
And I'm thinking of Merv Griffin, yeah. You know, Dick Cavett is from the same hometown as, same, not hometown, but very close as myself.
Nobody cares.
Isn't that a fun fact?
Nobody cares. This is like 2014 is a year of sheer blunt honesty. Nobody gives a damn about Dick Cavett who's listening to this show, okay?
Mm. That's true.
Nobody even knows who you're doing when you do the Groucho.
No.
This is merely for my entertainment.
I'm going to work on a Katy Perry impression.
Work on your Ryan Reynolds impersonation.
What Psy? Canadian style.
That's, yeah. That's so 2013.
Dude. I know. Nobody remembers Psy even.
Nobody remembers Psy. The world moves at a very, very fast pace these days. Mm. You're killing me, man.
Wow.
I'm like tearing up. I can't take it anymore. I can't take it. Any news? You bring any news?
News?
This week?
What? Oh, my gosh. It's cold. Did we cover
that?
Oh,
no.
It's so cold.
What would Groucho say about the cold? How would Groucho get around in this kind of weather in Manhattan in like 75?
See, now here, the beauty of Gilbert Gottfried, of course, created the old Groucho impression. And the beauty of it was not that he was doing Groucho, because everybody did Groucho.
Right.
It was that he was doing old Groucho.
Groucho nobody cared about.
Nobody cared about. And yet Dick Cavett sat there with rapt attention on the edge of his seat, waiting for these replies that went absolutely nowhere.
Yeah.
That were just
he was just gone. The mind was gone.
Rambling.
It was done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we carry on Gilbert's tradition.
We try.
I saw Gilbert show up in an episode of, you know, David Faustino of Married with Children fame has a show on Roku. The Roku box says Crackle as one of the channels. And you can watch the David Faustino show, which is all about him, his loser life, trying to get back into the Hollywood spotlight. And it's got him and the other guy who actually gets work, though. The guy Parker Lewis Can't Lose. Remember that guy?
Oh, okay. Corman.
Corman Nemec. Is okay. That Nemec? Mm-hmm. Is that how you say it? So they're in the show, and it's the worst show I've ever seen in my life. It's so bad, but it's like, and they're doing it intentionally, so it's even worse. You know, it's like guy on the toilet, like, there's no toilet paper. What should I do? You know, like that kind of stuff. Really bad. But Gilbert's in an episode.
Wow.
And he has a retarded son. An adult retarded son in the episode, which he asks Corman and David Faustino to come over and babysit, and then they subsequently kill the child in the pool. It's like a 30-year-old man who's a retarded man or mentally challenged. How would Groucho say? Would he say retarded, or do you say mentally challenged or developmentally disabled? How would he say?
We would say feeble.
Feeble-minded. He was a feeble-minded child. It was
and
about
if there wasn't
years
time,
old.
We would say Phoebe.
He was a Phoebe if there wasn't time. Is that like a... That wasn't a Jewish joke, was it?
Phoebe? I don't think so. Phoebe? No, Phoebe is just short for feeble.
Oh, yeah, okay. Phoebe. Okay. No, I'm getting
no, Hebe is, oh, is that's short nice. For Hebrew.
That's not nice.
What's that? You know, words are just words. I mean, come on. Somebody gets pissed off when you say water or agua.
They do.
Right?
They do. Somebody was mad because Santa's white.
He is?
Yeah.
Hmm.
They were having a big argument in the mainstream.
No, that was Nick Fury.
Oh, Nick Fury, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I always get Saint Nick and Nick Fury mixed up.
Yeah, he's white, damn it.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Okay, well, that argument settled. Yeah. But anyway, this Gilbert showed up in this thing, and I wish I knew the name of it. I mean, it was so, and there's like 20 episodes up there. It's like obviously made for Roku box.
I saw Gilbert on a Max Headroom recently. The Max Headroom show, remember that?
Is that
the old?
They rebooted it?
No. I got a copy of an old some old episodes. And
it's called Star Ving. Get it?
Star
Ving. Star dash Ving.
Ving.
Like Ving Rhames. Star like Star Jones dash. Ving, like Ving Rhames, without
or
the
like
H.
Ving.
Without the H and the Ving.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Starving, yes. So that...
Wow.
And then Ed O'Neill showed up in an episode. He was trying to borrow money from Ed O'Neill. I mean, it was really bad. I mean, it was really like... just like, you felt embarrassed. You know, embarrassed.
Now, this is a so-called reality show, or is it?
No. Okay. Well, it's reality in that him and Corin are playing themselves, and then they're like 10-minute episodes. These aren't like hour-long sitcoms or anything. They're clearly done on the cheap, but it's just like these two. They're washed-up child stars, and they're living together, and in this burnt-out apartment, and they're trying to make it in Hollywood, get back up on top. Now, I don't really know, were either of them ever really on the top?
Did the Coreys pass on this? Is that
the Core? I think they died.
Oh, they died.
Yeah. Well, I think the surviving Corey, we call him here in the office, the surviving Corey is on his own.
Widow
trip.
Corey.
Yeah, Widow Corey. He's doing his Playboy Mansion thing right now.
Oh yeah. He's big. He's too big. He's way.
He's big, man. Mm. You know, I think what is it like $400? $600? You pay him to go over there and hang out.
Yeah.
That's I have to say, though, when he comes around to the conventions, his is always the longest line.
Hmm.
Robert Englund, Kane Hodder, whoever.
Yeah.
Longest line, Corey Feldman.
Well,
I'm telling you.
God bless him.
Yeah.
Have you seen any good movies? I've seen a couple of good movies, and I don't know if we have time to talk about them or...
Well,
I'm working my way through the
7:43. We're not going to have any call-in movie reviews tonight.
Well, you know what?
Skip it because you were late.
Fred was
cold.
I didn't return my call, so I think it might be too cold.
So we'll have Fred the Elephant Boy come back another time. Well, we were going to have him do some reviews tonight. So have you do some reviews instead?
Well, I just wanted to mention a couple.
You're going
to
review it. Or are you going to mention it?
I don't know. Review slash.
Well, we got 15 minutes left.
I'll revention it.
Review. Revention it. There you go. That's our first movie revention right now.
I finally caught up with Blue Jasmine, the Woody Allen
movie. Yeah.
Did you see it?
No. Okay. I missed it. I missed that one.
Well, no. Woody lost me years ago. Okay. I mean, totally lost me years ago.
Woody, at the mall?
When you were a kid? That's probably where it was, actually. What was the... Crimes and Misdemeanors was good. Probably a little bit after that.
Okay.
Just completely.
Gotcha.
And every now and then I'll say, maybe I'll give it another chance. And I'll watch the new one, and it's horrible. And it just reminds me of everything that was bad about his movies. Blue Jasmine is great. It really is great. It's atypical. The thing that bugs me about his writing most is that the characters all speak as him, basically.
right.
They stammer, they start...
The nebbish, annoying. Mm. Yeah. That's why people don't like his movies.
And it's ridiculous people when don't you have like Kenneth that, Branagh doing that.
People don't like that archetype of what he's playing.
Yeah.
People just don't like that.
If he's playing it, I'm down with it. But it's by proxy.
But what if Ben Stiller's doing it? He's another one.
It's ridiculous.
Right.
It's just ridiculous because...
Exactly.
But this one, there's none of that. The actors are all doing their own thing.
Who's the lead in this one?
Well, Cate Blanchett is the lead. She's all but guaranteed the Oscar for this. It's a great, great performance.
Okay.
Alec Baldwin, I guess, would be the biggest male lead. Andrew Dice Clay, of all people.
That's right. That's okay. Fantastic. That's the one. That's the one I heard. Yeah, that's right here. Big comeback.
He's just
I was going to say, I thought The Rock was in this one, but I guess The Rock's not in this one.
Not in this one.
No.
Maybe the next one. Andrew Dice Clay and Louis C.K., in fact.
Louis C.K., that's both. Right. Louis C.K. was talking about it somewhere on TV or
they're
something.
They're both great. They're both great. Yeah. And Cate Blanchett's great.
I just saw Louis C.K. in American Hustle.
What did you think of American Hustle?
I thought Louis C.K. sucked in it.
Yeah.
I thought he was wasted. I thought it was a pretty flat film.
I thought it was pretty flat.
I don't know if he was calling it a comedy. I didn't find any comedy in it. I guess because Christian Bale has a silly wig on or something that's supposed to be comedy, I don't find it funny. Or what's her name? Hunger Games doing like a Long Island crappy accent. I don't know. It just didn't resonate. I really wanted it to be something really good. I was looking for like a Scorsese vibe, and I didn't feel it. Didn't feel it at all. It was just convoluted. I didn't really know what was going on at certain points. Every character had so many emotional problems. There was not one stable emotional character in that film, and that's the problem. You have to set up a good versus evil kind of, you have to be fighting against something as a character. So you've got these conflicts that mean nothing because everybody's a weakling, emotional weakling, a fool. Everybody's a fool. Maybe that's the point of the film. Everybody's being conned all the time by everybody else. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, the story didn't bother me that much. I mean, it was the artifice or the artificiality of the acting and
oh, God.
The directing.
It's just one of those, like, I want to do a 70s movie. It's kind of like, you know, when I, what year did Boogie Nights come out?
Yeah.
97?
Early
90s? Mid.
Oh, you know, you're right. Mid to
96. When I saw it, I was in my 20s. I got a real kick. I loved Boogie Nights. I thought, wow, this is incredible, blah, blah. You watch it now, it's so dated, and it's so phony. It's so forced, you know? Just the like you said, the artifice of it's so forced. Like, here, you know, make sure you get the lava lamp in the shot, you know? It's like almost like forcing. So I was like, you really wish for a film that's kind of timeless, that really doesn't have, that's almost like that becomes the main character.
Right.
You know?
You shouldn't, if you're watching a movie that takes place in the 70s, it should look like the 70s and not like
you're
a movie now pretending
someone's
to be the 70s.
Interpretation
should
of the
just
70s.
Look like an old movie.
Exactly. And that's what this is the problem with this, is that the characters looked like they were all going to a costume party and they didn't look like they belonged there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, let's get a scene of Bradley Cooper with the curlers and it just doesn't, it's silly. Yeah, men did that in the 70s. But who cares? It wouldn't matter. You know, like Donnie Brasco. There's a movie that you don't really, you know, it's kind of back when somewhere, but they're not pushing it in your face. Yeah. It could pass for today. If you watch one scene, it could be any time. You know, Goodfellas does that too. It's not necessarily, you know, early on. It's like, you know, okay, it might be taking place in the early 60s, but it's not pushed in your face. Like, you know, I got this new thing. It's a microwave oven. Oh, my God, it's a cell phone. You can talk on the phone when you're walking.
Exactly. Well, this is the thing. People, we live in the present.
Right.
Everyone lives in the present. You don't think that you're living in the 70s. You don't think you're living in 2014. You're just living right now.
Yes.
So everything else is just subtext. You're not constantly calling attention to the fact that it's 2014.
Right. Look at this phone. Can you believe this phone? I can take a picture with it.
I better go get my Xbox One.
Yeah, exactly.
This year.
Yeah. It reminds me of like that 70s show, you know, where that 80s show. Remember that short-lived?
I don't remember the 80s
they
show.
They did a spin-off, that 80s show. Even worse than that 70s show, if that's possible.
I gotta say, Amy Adams, side boobage though.
Nice,
no problem there.
I'll take
side boobage.
Yeah, that's
fine.
No, I'm down. I'm down with you, man.
Yeah.
I'm down with you. Dude, good. I mean, you know, not that none of these people are bad actors. It's not about that.
No,
it's just that it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel. I wasn't swept away into it. I don't see it now. A film I did like. Speaking of, what's his name? The guy with the hair, Christian Bale, Batman.
Yeah.
Out of the Furnace.
Uh-huh.
Pretty good, man. Pretty
I've
good.
I've not seen it yet. I've only
pretty
seen a
good.
Bit of it.
Pretty good. It kind of drops down in the third act. I feel but it's a kind of unsettling film in a way. But it's not unsettling because it's super violent or anything, but it's William Dafoe.
Uh-huh.
Willem.
Great cast.
Dafoe.
Willem.
Mm-hmm. Willem Dafoe. Woody Harrelson. Very good.
Uh-huh.
Very good. It's a little, you know, it's not perfect. I don't think it's an Oscar contender, but you know, nice, solid little piece.
Mm-hmm. I think there was a little bit of buzz, and then it came out, and now there's really no buzz.
Oh, really? Okay.
There's too many movies out, I think.
Yeah, but I'll never understand the American Hustle thing.
No,
never
that's
it.
Guaranteed, like, best, I mean, not winning, but nominations for picture, actor,
really?
Act. Oh, gosh, yeah. It's cleaning up at the other...
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. What, Silver Linings Playbook. I could not watch the movie. I couldn't get through it. And it's the same thing. It was up for picture, actor, actress, director, script, blah, blah, blah. It was unwatchable, in my opinion. This, at least I could watch.
Yeah.
American Hustle. But I don't get it. It's his style, I think, that people respond to.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a really nice guy. Maybe he employs a lot of actors.
Who cares?
The actors vote for him. It's the reason that Crash won Best Picture.
Oh, I see. Because there's
a million actors in it, so
right? So they, so
all
you,
of SAG
you,
voted
you,
for it.
Yeah, you send out 40 people with your message.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go work all their people, and they're going to work their friends, and they're going to get it. Right,
right.
If you have
a movie like Gravity, where you have two actors in it,
right? No. Exactly. Is that up for something?
That should be. Well, the nominations come out on the 16th.
Okay.
What's
the buzz?
The buzz is it'll be up.
This is how much I'm into the Oscars. I don't even know what's coming when the nominations.
I've always been into it. I've always been into the Oscars. I won a contest when I was 16. I did. I won a contest in my hometown in Nebraska. that was picking the Oscars. It was for the local the mall Cineplex that I later worked in, but this was when I was like 16, and it was to choose the Academy Awards for 77, I guess it would have been.
Oh, okay.
And it was the top five categories or top six, whatever. And this was the year that Annie Hall beat Star Wars. Now, Annie Hall didn't even play in Nebraska. Nobody even knew what that was.
Right.
So I probably was the only person who picked Annie Hall to win Best Picture. I won 4 out of 5, and I won a year's free admission as often as I wanted to go
to any movies,
to the movies, and free popcorn and free soda every time I went.
For life.
For a year.
For a year.
Now, and I went 3 times a day.
Did you really?
That was my grindhouse.
Did they give you a little card or something? Like, what was your little...
I did. I had a card.
A little get-out-of-jail kind of card.
Yeah.
And you would just present it. And then, you'd go outside and kind of wait and then come back in?
I would sometimes see 3 movies in a day.
That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like, when you saw the first movie, did you go outside and pretend like you're, were coming back in for the first time?
I didn't have to pretend because they knew me. I mean,
okay.
They got to know me.
So they were like, they're just waving you in. Oh, okay, this freak.
Yep.
This guy again. Mm. God, this guy has no friends, huh? They were those teenagers that were working here were making fun of you, man.
Probably. Yeah. Probably. But
We've all done it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. So we're he got upset.
I lost my train of thought.
What? But this was like a multiplex, or how many?
Four theaters.
Four theaters, three times a day. So there was basically one movie a day you weren't interested in.
Well, it wasn't every day that I would go to 3 a day, but I saw literally every movie that played there.
Did you ever see a movie more than once?
Well, I saw Grease 28 times.
28 on that card.
On that card, and then I saw it 3 more times when it went to the drive-in the next month. So I saw it 31 times in its first run.
So wait, Annie Hall. I'm sorry, man, but that you just admitted you're gay on the air.
Well,
basically, Annie Hall never plays Nebraska. You call it for the Oscars. You don't get beat up by anybody.
I don't know why I even knew what it was. I guess I was a geek back then. I knew the stuff.
You were reading the buzz in the papers or something?
I think I was reading. You remember Rona Barrett?
Gossip columnist. Yes.
She had a magazine or two, and I read those.
The Hollywood Insider or something.
Yeah,
Rona Barrett's Hollywood.
Glossy pictures of. I would pick them every month. I'd buy those magazines, hoping for a color photo of Jacqueline Bisset in her the deep T-shirt, whatever.
Okay.
it paid off. It paid off once in a while. the other Dallas Buyers Club is the other one that's
pretty phenomenal. Have to see that.
Pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, you saw it. Yeah.
Oh, the acting's.
I turned you on to that. I told you.
Did you?
Yeah, I told you to find that one.
McConaughey is so good. I mean,
it's
at first you're like, oh god, he lost a lot of weight. It's another pretty boy looking ugly.
Yeah, another machinist.
How brave.
Yeah,
to be a pretty boy and dressed down. But wow, he looks so emaciated that for the first half hour, I was consumed with like, how did he do this? I mean, he obviously had a doctor supervising him because. I mean, it was like a bone.
Right.
I
remember reading Christian Bale when he did The Machinist. And he said he would start in the morning with a can of tuna, and he would eat a quarter of it for breakfast, and then like a quarter of it for lunch, and then the rest for dinner. That was it for like weeks.
That cannot be healthy.
No, but I'm sure these guys are doctors, supervised to get injections of vitamins or something. Maybe not. I don't know.
I'm sure that the insurance company wouldn't let them go off and do
that's
it on
true.
Their own. But
he's
fantastic. I mean, he just never wavers, and it's a good story. Jared Leto is also great.
That's what it's talking about.
They're both
awards for him.
Plays a tranny who's got AIDS, and it could go really sentimental, but he kind of keeps it pretty real. And
okay, who directed that picture?
Good question. I don't remember.
We don't know. It's not.
I don't think it's a
big name
person. No. He's no David O. Russell.
It's no David O. Russell. But David O. Russell started out pretty good, man. And then where did it...
Well, I like Three Kings.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Three Kings. Good stuff. Yeah. Spanking the Monkey. Good.
I Heart Huckabees. Was that him too?
I Heart Huckabees. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Yeah. I don't know.
Todd, what are we doing on time, Mr. Producer, man? He's sleeping. We've been off the air
I'm here.
Send him a relay.
Call the relay station.
Call
this is like This is like a horror movie. Call the relay station and see if our signal's on, if anyone can hear the show.
The relays are coming from inside the house.
Yeah.
You got about a minute.
Yeah, relay station 3. Is the sheets transmission coming through over there, or is the ice all built up? Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, we're good, man. The show's been playing for the last 52 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Hey, thanks for having us. That's it for us, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so you've been listening to the Movies Hate You show, sponsored by
Wild Eye Releasing.
Wild Eye Releasing!
That's right. 2014. Found at wildeyereleasing.com. How do you like that? .com. You can email us at movieshateyou@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes. Find us in the archives. Find us live Tuesdays, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That is all, Mr. Ree. Thank you very much.
Mm, yes.
We do not speak about Mike Vrainy.
R.I.P. Mike.
R.I.P. We will talk about Mike Vrainy next week.
That's right. Mike's a great one.
Signing out in the shadow of New York City. Good night.
Good night.
Around.